This is The Cutting Room Floor, with your hosts, Eric and Alex. The Cutting Room Floor features discussions that contain spoilers. Listener discretion is advised.
We're just about to get our first pictures from inside the spacecraft with Average Not Homer Simpson. And we'd like to... Ladies and gentlemen, we've just lost the picture, but what we've seen speaks for itself. The Corvair spacecraft has apparently been taken over, conquered, if you will, by a master race of giant space ants. It's difficult to tell from this vantage point whether they will consume the captive Earthmen or merely enslave them. One thing is for certain, there is no stopping them. The ants will soon be here. And I, for one, welcome our new insect overlords. I'd like to remind them that as a trusted TV personality, I can be helpful in rounding up others to toil in their underground sugar caves.
Hi, welcome back to The Cutting Room Floor. I'm Eric.
And I'm Alex.
And today, we have a little bit of a news roundup.
Not really too much that we found interesting
yeah. This
time around.
But then, we will talk about one of our favorite Futurama episodes, 300 Big Boys.
I love that episode. I'm excited to talk about it. We kind of just keep to news that we find interesting, because otherwise we could be doing every news story that drops, and that would just take all of our time.
Yep.
So, the couple of things that we found interesting was, they're largely Star Wars related again. Exactly. The untitled Han Solo film finally has a title. It's going to be called Solo, A Star Wars Story. And it's scheduled still for May 2018. So, what are your thoughts, Eric?
This title, Solo, A Star Wars Story.
Right.
I could think of a million better titles than that.
Right.
But I get it. They wanted to have the, you know his name. His name is Solo.
Right.
Han Solo.
Right.
You know, like, I can understand why they're doing that. But I would have, I was half expecting Han Solo, A Star Wars
right,
Story.
Right,
or, like, I read some random comments of, like, why don't they instead call it, like, Smuggler's Run?
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, not a Han Solo story. A Han Solo... Smuggler's Run, A Han Solo Story, A Star Wars Story.
Right,
that's
right,
just too much of a mouthful.
Right. My thoughts were it's really an uninspired title, but, like, that was my thing. It was like, what we're expecting. The Kessel Run, A Star Wars Story. You know, something along those lines.
Because that could be about anyone.
Right, yeah. So, it's uninspired, but it makes sense.
Which then makes me wonder, given with the news of the Obi-Wan Kenobi movie, are they going to literally just call the Kenobi movie Kenobi?
Right.
A Star Wars, you know,
yeah.
It's like...
Maybe.
Maybe.
Who knows?
I still don't love the whole A Star Wars story.
Right.
I prefer anthology.
Yeah, totally agree.
I call Rogue One, Rogue One. I don't call it Rogue One, A Star Wars Story.
Yeah, I don't think anybody goes with the Star Wars story. I think it's mostly just... branding.
To help marketing.
Yeah, I mean, even with Rogue One, they didn't have that in the title. It was just, boom, Rogue One.
Yeah.
So,
The title,
yeah.
it could have used a crawl.
Right.
Yeah. Whatever.
Whatever. But,
yeah, so yeah. I don't, this title is very just bleh.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it's still Star Wars, so people are going to go see it.
Yeah.
That's all that really matters, I guess.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's, like I said, still scheduled for May. I'm hoping it gets bumped to December, though.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm starting to think that maybe it won't.
Yeah, I don't think so either, because Ron Howard basically reshot the whole film.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I heard, too.
He spent, like, 4 months filming it.
Right.
And most films, like, take, like, if they're doing reshoots, it's like... We're going to take 2 weeks.
Right, yeah, the reshoots are really on a shorter schedule, but yeah, this was, like, completely extensive.
Uh-huh.
The biggest thing that I'm just concerned about is that, like, Last Jedi drops in December, and everything Star Wars is, like, is laser-focused on that. We haven't heard anything other than the title. You know,
yeah,
and so there's been no trailers, no posters,
yeah,
like nothing, and it makes sense because Last Jedi is the focus,
yeah.
But I mean, even if they moved it to August. Not August, I guess, because that's, you know, the dumping ground month or whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, September or something.
It's the summer's January.
Right, yeah, yeah, exactly. But some kind of bump, just because it seems like, I don't know, I just feel like it needs some room to breathe.
Yeah, and because, it needs some room to be promoted. And
right.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, it's Last Jedi. Oh, yeah, and by the way, in another 5 months, you're getting another one.
Right. Well, and the thing is, like, how long was Force Awakens? I know that the schedule is a lot shorter than it used to be. It used to be, you know, movies were in theaters a lot longer. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, Force Awakens was, at least in first-run theaters, until March.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah.
So, you maybe have a month and a half.
Between
Star Wars movies, you know, it's like, it was just, you know, I think that's where you'd get some fatigue thing, yep. You know, it's mm-hmm. like, just give it some room.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Anything else?
No, that was all I had on that one. Okay. The other thing I had was there was the international trailer and poster release for Last Jedi. I haven't seen that trailer. I guess there was that TV spot, too.
I saw, like, 10 seconds of a TV spot, and I was like, no. I scrolled away because I was on social media. I scrolled away. I'm like, nope. And I was seeing, is Rey going to fight? Nope.
See, and I was the exact
opposite. Is Luke going to fight so-and-so? You know, it's like, no. Nope.
Right. I saw it too, and I was like, I thought it was the international trailer.
Uh-huh.
And then I was like, oh no, this is too short. What is this? What am I watching? Should I be watching it? Probably not. I don't really want to see anything else. But then I sat there with this cheese-eating grin on my face, like, I'm going to absorb it, because I can't control myself. It was a cool spot. But
I saw, like, some images mm-hmm. of, like, Rey with her lightsaber in the middle of, like, a downpour. I'm like, mm-hmm. okay, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, And then
of course, there was the one that I told you about via text. I saw Luke stepping into the Falcon's uh-huh. cockpit. I'm like, nope,
yep,
nope.
Yeah, and that's, like, the very, very beginning of the spot.
Yeah, so. And I was like, nope, just because of the history of that ship and those characters.
Right,
nope.
Yeah, you just want to see it in the film, yeah.
Yeah.
But otherwise there was the international trailer. It looks from, I haven't watched that one.
I haven't either.
And from the sound of it, it's mostly a combination of,
the first two.
Yeah, the first two trailers.
Okay.
And then like a couple of extra lines from Rey. That's about it. Only difference. And then there was an international poster release, which is pretty much... Have you seen that one?
I have not.
Okay, it's pretty much the same as the standard poster. The difference is, it kind of throws the whole... or makes you question all over again. You know the meme of, like, the villain is always at the top.
Yeah.
It swaps Luke and Rey's place. So Rey is at the top of the poster.
And Luke
is in Rey's place.
In, like, the corner or whatever.
Uh-huh. And he's holding... the Skywalker lightsaber.
Ooh.
So, and that's like really, so I got thinking about it, I was like, that's the first time we've actually seen him holding that lightsaber.
With his old lightsaber since he lost his hand. Right,
since 1980. And funny enough, he's holding it in his left hand. He's holding it in the real hand.
Yeah.
But, yeah, kind of cool. To be
that's
like,
cool.
That's like the first time we've actually seen it. It's interesting because we haven't seen anything with his built lightsaber. So... It's like, does he still have it?
I hope he does.
Me too.
I hope he ignites it again.
Right. Me too. I'm hoping for that, but it makes you wonder. Or is it just, it could just be strictly promotional.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess we've seen him hold the lightsaber in the trailer.
Yeah.
But, like, him holding it, like, ignited, like, it was a pretty cool.
Nice.
Looking thing. But, yeah, it looked cool, but that was just my thought. Was
so
like,
does Rey turn to the dark side?
Right, yeah, who knows? My thought, though, was, like, I'm not taking it at face value. Yeah. Just, like, the shot of Rey being like, I need somebody to help me find my place, and then Kylo Ren extends his hand. Like,
yeah.
I just don't... I'm not in the mindset of, like, that's how that actually plays out, and I'm not taking this at face value. I think it could just be a piece of marketing, but it looked cool.
Yeah.
But it was interesting to see... For whatever reason, the poster be almost identical, just with those two swapping places. So yeah, that was just the biggest thing. Other than their spots being switched, pretty much the same. But I thought it was interesting that that's how it played out. It was just an interesting little change. So
yeah,
it's a little change, but it's significant. So anyway, any thoughts on that?
It's Not really. I think it's cool, but so they swapped two different characters.
Right, right.
Whoop-dee-doo.
Right, yeah.
You know, I mean, Ray is the new main protagonist in this series, so why should she not be front and center?
Right.
Oh, I guess if we're going on that logic, then that means that Vader / what's her bucket, Jin is the villain of Rogue One.
That's funny. Because Vader was on the posters for that too, wasn't he?
He was.
Yeah. Well, with that out of the way, we'll kind of just jump into our main topic. The season 4 episode, I believe it is, of Futurama 300 Big Boys.
This isn't Yemeni, it's Sulawesi. And the cup's shaking. I don't want my coffee shaking.
You seem a tad wound up, buddy. And your face is greasy. Real greasy. You been up all night?
Of course I've been up all night. Not because of caffeine, it was insomnia. I couldn't stop thinking about coffee. I need a nap. Coffee time!
One laugh, please.
Quick, just gist of this. Earth President Richard Nixon, yes, that Richard Nixon, issues every citizen a $300 tax rebate. The Planet Express crew each ponders how they shall spend their money. So, perfect.
You know, in a way, this is kind of like the 22 short stories about Springfield episode.
That was exactly what I thought. I was thinking about this, and I thought, it's kind of the Futurama spin on this. And then I looked into it. David X. Cohen was doing the DVD commentary on 22 short films on the Simpsons DVD and said that's exactly where they got the inspiration from.
Ah.
So I was like, that's really funny.
Yeah.
I think that was when he was working on the Simpsons too, which is why he was doing the DVD commentary. Yes. So it makes sense. But yeah, it's exactly. Yeah, it's pretty
cool. You just have all these little you have all these little semi-separate stories that basically all interconnect in the finale.
Right, yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, these little vignettes are awesome. I love how they go.
Coffee.
I couldn't sleep all night. It's not because of insomnia. It's because I was thinking about coffee. So that's what Fry decides to spend his money on, is 300 cups of coffee. Or no, 100 cups of coffee.
100 cups of coffee.
About $3 a piece. Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, that's what he decides.
And then Tiff and Amy.
So Amy blows hers on a new talking tattoo. On her arm, right? Yeah, it's on her arm.
Okay.
Yeah. Although we find out that she has a couple more on her butt. I think one of them is a horse because you hear it neigh or something like that.
Kif uses his to buy a watch that like can tell where
the time where he's at and where Amy is at.
Yeah, so they can always know the time. Yeah,
that was part of it, and then he spent the rest of it on a date for them where he gives her the watch.
Yeah, where they're on a tricycle built for two, but it's like
a flying version.
Yeah. But it still requires like pedaling to fly.
Let's see. The professor spends his on stem cells in order to give himself a more youthful appearance, although the effect is temporary, so it's like a pound of stem cells. And then he meets a kind of like punk rock looking girl.
Yeah. And at first he forgets how young he is.
Right.
And he's like, they're blaring their rock music. Hey, you kids, you turn that music.
And then he sees her.
He sees her and he's like, oh, yeah. Turn it up. then, of course, Zoidberg.
Right. He can't decide what he wants to spend. Because he's like, this is the most money I've ever had.
Yeah. And so, at one, is this the is this the golfing clip?
Yeah, the golf. Yeah, he's going on a golf excursion, and he refers to his caddy as his golf slave.
And then
he's like giving him recommendations, isn't he? He's like, quiet, golf slave.
Yeah, because he's trying to swing,
right?
Totally misses the ball, and he's like, perhaps if you tighten your grip, sir. He's like, oh, thank you, golf slave.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah,
and then his pincers snapped the club by accident. And he's like, "This, why do rich people even play this game?
Right, yeah.
It's worthless. And these eggs are worthless. And he spits out all the golf balls.
Golf balls, yeah. And then what else does he do? He goes to like a jewelry store, and he's got like all kinds of rings, like on his his mouth.
Tendrils.
Yeah, yeah.
Tendrils.
And he ends up just spitting them and like scuttling out. He goes to Elzar's restaurant and wants a fancy rich person meal, and they give him like caviar and it's like the spleen of something.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, this is what rich people eat? And he's like, yeah, people spend a lot of money on the garbage parts of animals. So yeah, Zoidberg can't decide what to spend his money on. Hermes spends his on like some giant futuristic stilts for the sun. And then Bender wants to buy this gigantic cigar.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But it's $10,000, so instead he buys a $300 kit of burglar tools to go and then thereby steal the cigar. So
and isn't the cigar like made from some like ancient person or like the remains?
Yeah,
like,
it's got like it's like got ancient remains, and it's
so like alien race or something,
right? But it's also like wrapped in a piece of the original Constitution. Oh. Just all kinds of ridiculous things.
Leela wants to basically go swimming
with
a giant whale.
Yeah,
yeah.
And that's pretty much all of them, I think.
Yeah.
So and then Zap Brannigan invites them all to, so the reason that it comes about is they conquer this spider world, and, basically the tax rebate comes from the spoils of the conquest,
mm-hmm.
And so he invites them to an exhibit of some of the things that they got, so that's where it all coalesces.
Mm-hmm.
So, anything else kind of to summarize?
No, there's tons of funny bits.
Right. No, that's the thing. It's like all these little vignettes are there's just so many funny little things going on that it's just a riot. It's just a riot to watch this episode.
Yeah.
Sorry. Go ahead.
I think this is one of the first episodes I ever saw.
Oh, really? Okay.
It might have been. No, I think the garbage one was one of the the shrink wrapping of New York. Is that the same garbage one?
I don't remember.
Anyways, but
it's funny that we have to ask how many garbage episodes there are. Like, not like trash episodes, but like
Dealing with garbage.
Dealing with garbage, yeah.
Like global warming.
The waste problem of New York.
Yeah. But yeah, there's so many just little things. Like the watch
right.
falls off Amy's wrist, which then goes into the blowhole of the whale, which then...
Right. That, oh, and that's when Leela's like, well, that's convenient. I'm going, because they decide they need to get the watch back. She's like, I'm going swimming with that whale tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, doesn't she cause it to like vomit or something to get the
watch so, back? So in order, they decide that in order to get the watch back, Zoidberg suggests that they induce vomiting.
Uh-huh.
Because that's how they got him to cough up something that he'd swallowed one time.
Uh-huh.
Of somebody else's that. And so, Leela goes wearing a swimsuit stuffed with, like, rotting fish.
Oh, that's
and you
right.
can, like, see their tail sticking out from underneath and everything.
And, like, blood and crap.
I don't think you can see blood.
But you can just see, like, tails sticking
out. Yeah, you
out
can see, like, and she's, like, all lumpy and everything.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And so she goes swimming and, yeah, I think in the course of it, the
whale swallows
the
her.
The whale swallows her swimsuit.
Oh,
so she has to get out nude, but she like wraps herself in like a banner that's there.
Uh-huh.
So then the next time you see her is she's got like this banner for Mushu the whale, like wrapped around her. But yeah, that's how they get him sick,
mm-hmm.
and he vomits up everything.
But. And then my personal favorite is Fry is just freaking out because he's been having his coffee.
Right.
And they have a counter throughout the episode of, like, cup number 57.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then...
Yeah, he gets, like, progressively more jittery. And,
yeah.
like, at one point he's just, like... He, like, his hand is just violently shaking. It's when they're at the coffee shop. He's at the coffee shop with Bender. And he like gets the cup of coffee, and his hand is just violently shaking. And he's like, "My coffee's shaking! I specifically didn't want my coffee shaking." It's just so ridiculous.
But then at the end, it turns out that somehow the art exhibit catches
the cigar. It's Bender. He steals the cigar, and that's the same thing. He shows it to Fry at the coffee shop, and he's like, "Well, that's my fine looking cigar. Why don't you smoke it already? Go on, go, puff, puff, puff." And Bender says, "No, this is too fine of a stogie to smoke just anywhere. I have to do it someplace special." So he decides to do it at the exhibit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, yeah, like you said, everything coalesces. So he's smoking it and just like filling the room. Because it's not just like a regular size cigar. It's freaking huge. It's like 3 feet long or something like that. And so while he's smoking it, that's when, so Hermes, we have to backtrack because Hermes has these stilts.
Yeah.
And he and his son get on them. Like he's showing his son how they work. And then, as it happens, his son is, like, holding on to the stilt, so he is, like, at the bottom, mm-hmm. while Hermes is out of control walking through the city, and it coalesces with him, like, crashing through a window into the exhibit,
mm-hmm.
and he kicks the cigar out of Bender's hand.
Oh.
And it lands on one of the tapestries.
Gotcha.
And then that just ignites everything.
So. Yeah. So the whole entire thing is on fire.
Right.
And everyone's freaking out. And then Fry has his lucky 100th right. copy, and time stops.
Right.
He is so pent up on coffee and
right. caffeine. It puts him like in like this induced like hyper aware state. Yeah.
He's like he's the Flash and he's entered the Speed Force. Or right. Whatever, yeah. And everything's just like everyone's perfectly still.
Right.
So he just rushes everybody out.
Right.
Oh, and in the process of this, the professor's stem cells run out, so he goes back to, like, his 190-year-old self.
Right.
And then the girl that he's with, she's like, I'm sorry, this is who I really am.
Right.
And she's like, I used all my money on to make myself look younger. And she's like, oh, it's okay. I did the same thing. And she pulls out her navel ring.
Right.
And then she
just balloons.
balloons.
And what was it she says? She says, I appreciate you just the way you are, wrinkly as a prune, and the professor's like, and you as bloated as a cow or something. Like, it's awful, but it's hilarious. And then they start making out again. Okay. So gross.
But yeah, so then they have like, at the very end, Fry saves everybody, and they have like all the homeless people.
Right, like, yeah, all the like homeless, like all these hobos are in the alley. Yeah.
And they have, like, a big, huge feast or something.
Yeah, yeah. Zoidberg finally decides that the way he wants to spend his money is helping other people. And so he has this feast of hot dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody sits down and has a hot dog. That's how it wraps up. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's just a great episode. And kind of like the Simpsons episode we talked about, the Bart sells a soul, yeah. This is just, like, highly quotable. There's so many great moments. A couple of them that I...
One art, please.
Yeah, one art. That's right. Zoidberg goes into the exhibit, and he doesn't understand. He's like, but if this is what rich people like, then one art, please. And then the character of Mom is there, and she's like, oh, what a great impression of a poor person. It's terrible, but hilarious.
Oh, gee.
But there's, like minor characters, or that you never see again, that have hilarious lines. Like, so after they all get their rebate, you see, like, this crack addict on the street, and he's like, no more cheap crack houses for me! And you see him go across the street, and it says Gigantic Mansion, and on the front of it, it says Crack Mansion. And there's a guy out front, it's like a butler, he's like, very good, sir, shall I pre-warm sir's crack pipe? And he's like, oh yeah! It's just ridiculous. And then when Leela goes to the whale, to swim with the whale, his name is Mushu, and she's with a whale biologist, and she asks him something about the whale. He's like, well, you asked the right guy. I'm the whale biologist, though personally I hate whales, especially Mushu. And she asks him, like, why? Why did you become a whale biologist? He's like, I don't know you well enough to get into that. It's, like, it's just ridiculous. But, I mean, yeah, just, like, some of these minor characters you see have hilarious lines, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's one of my favorite episodes.
Yeah, it's really good. Any like, I guess, specific pros other than the it's great?
No.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a really good episode. Any cons or anything?
Not that I can think of.
I think it's like a just a perfectly crafted 22-minute episode.
Yeah.
I think it would be a good episode, too, to, like, if you've never watched Futurama.
To introduce it.
Yeah. Someone. Yeah, because all you really need to know is, you know, Fry was a guy from the 21st century.
That got frozen.
And got frozen. Comes, you know, gets woken up in the 31st century and is kind of guy out of place, but, you know, adjusting. And, yeah, I mean, that, you know, there's nothing really that needs introducing. It's a self-contained story.
Mm-hmm.
That's just, it's a funny premise, and it's a riot.
Yeah.
So, cool. Any other thoughts that you had on this one?
No.
Cool. No. Just watch it. I wish it was still on Netflix, though. They took it all off. I would recommend it on Netflix.
They took everything up to season 7.
Right. Off. It's so do they have season 7 being the stuff that was on Comedy Central?
Probably.
Or is that the movies? No, the movies were technically, I think, like seasons 5 and 6, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think so, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's kind of a bummer. But yeah. What do you do?
That's why I own them.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yep. So, but yeah, if you had never watched this show before, like, this is a great episode.
It's a good episode.
Just to kind of get the feel for the series and all of that. Mm-hmm. Well, cool. Well, if there's nothing else, then we'll sign off on this one. The next episode we're going to discuss is kind of just going to be a topical episode where we're going to be talking about silly censorship. So
it's going to be good.
I hope. I believe so. Yep. So we will catch you next time.
Thank you for listening to The Cutting Room Floor. Please subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. You can email us at thecuttingroomfloorpodcast@gmail.com.